You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, hour number two, what's happening? We are live inside of our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney. Get us on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227. We're going to preview the Seattle Seahawks coming up this hour. Shaquille Griffin. Seahawks feel very different. Mm-hmm. They look different. They feel different. They sound different. We did an inbounds, out of bounds. We flipped it around because our next guest was wrapped up with something called, practice. He actually had to finish up his job. And he's called in now. We'll see what's happening with the Arizona Cardinals. And they're another team. I think we're still kind of trying to figure out what they're going to be. Some interesting pieces, a rookie head coach. So what's up with the Cards? Let's find out.
The 2018 NFL season is upon us, and it's time for our sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Training Camp Two-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season. Arizona Cardinals, 8-8, third in the NFC West. Changes swirled in the desert after 2017 as Tiki's former babysitter Bruce Arians stepped down and was replaced by former Panthers defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. Sam Bradford takes over for Carson Palmer, but Josh Rosen waits in the wings.
I'm very fortunate that is the standard that I get to see coming into the NFL. I'm not competing with someone who was like a career backup and is maybe getting their shot or something here. I'm competing with someone who had the highest completion percentage in the league. I mean, he's unbelievable, and I'm going to try and top that, and I'm just very fortunate that that's the standard that I get to go see when I step foot in the NFL.
Is this the final year for future Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald? And if so, will it be a magical end?
All right, let's find out. Interesting division. Obviously, the Niners changing things up. Garoppolo's going to start. He obviously came in late last year. We mentioned before, Seattle's kind of mixing things up here. There's a lot of unknowns in the NFC West. So right. Let's get some answers, at least answers pertaining to the Cardinals. And they just wrapped up practice. He also... Right, and he signed a nice contract, Teague. 5 years, a whole lot of schedule, right around $45 million. I throw it out there because it is public record. But Justin Pugh, formerly of the Giants, now in the desert, and he is with us to talk about his Cards. Justin, welcome to Teague and Tierney. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. Good to have you back on. How's the change of scenery been for you? Obviously, it's a lot of change of scenery for the Cardinals' offensive line. We were just looking. I mean, it's, other than DJ Humphreys, all of you guys are new out there. What's it like out in the desert?
It's been awesome. We got some good veterans in the room. Andre Smith, a 10-year guy. Mike Capati, another 9-year guy. So it's been good. We've been going out there getting some really good reps during OTAs, and then we built off that in training camp, and it was a good first preseason game for us. And I'm excited about where we're heading with this offensive line and this offense in general.
What can you tell us about Coach Wilks? We don't know much about him. Obviously, he was the defensive coordinator down in Carolina, but was under the radar as a defensive coordinator. Not a lot of people knew his name. What's his style like? What's his interaction with the players like?
He's a true leader of men. Like, when something comes out, he kind of reminds me of Coach Coughlin, the way he gets up and just commands the room.
Yeah.
He always has some type of message for us, something that we can build off of, and he's very into the details and to the precision and to making sure everything's done the right way. But he's smooth with it. He's, well-dressed. He always has something going on where everyone's, paying attention, locked in when he's speaking. And he's just a true leader of men, which is something that you can admire as a player.
Yeah, he could respect that right away. I would imagine as soon as he walks in the door, you can feel that. That's Justin Pugh of the Cardinals. You know, it's funny. We talk about, and we'll get to Rosen, obviously, is one of the top draft picks. And obviously, it's the NFL. People care about quarterbacks and the wide receivers, who's going in fantasy, who's going to catch all the touchdowns, what running backs are going to break tackles and bring it to the house. The offensive line, although we all know without a good one, you're going nowhere. But, Tiki played, so it's harder for, like, me and our audience to know when an offensive line is truly fully in sync. And we mentioned that a lot of the line is new. I mean, does it take 3 practices? Does it take 3 weeks? When do you know that you're in sync with the 4 other guys that you're banging helmets with the opposing defensive line?
I think when you can go out there and some things that are unspoken, it's kind of like a lot of plays and a lot of offenses, we have a lot of the same plays in. They're just called something different. To go out there and when you get into the live pads, when you get into the 9-on-7s in practice, which is just like basically a strictly run-only period, when you're still moving the ball, when you're gaining big chunks. And I think it's all of us combined, the tight ends, the offensive line, the running back getting a feel for us. Once you get into a live game and you kind of see the real thing start happening, teams trying to pressure and give you different looks, and you're still able to effectively run the ball, that's when you start to get a good feel that you're going to be able to do some good things up front that year.
How is David Johnson doing? Obviously, he was a big disappointment last year for Cardinals fans and really fantasy football fans, to take BT's point, because he's so dynamic. How's he doing?
Unbelievable. I mean, I think being in, obviously playing on the East Coast last year, playing in the NFL, I didn't have a real chance to watch a lot of David Johnson.
Yeah.
Getting out here and getting to see him in person, he's a stud. Can do it all. Come out of the backfield, he can protect. Obviously, running the ball speaks for itself. And then I got a real taste of it this week, this past weekend, our first preseason game. Rips off two 14-yard runs right off the bat.
Yeah, saw him.
I can get used to this.
Yeah, no kidding, right? We saw him on the highlights. And listen, his legs weren't a problem last year with his wrist, so he can keep his legs fresh, and he looks ready to roll.
Exactly.
What is it like? We have such – everybody in the NFL community has such great affinity and adulation for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Great player, but a great person. What is he like every day? Now that you're actually rubbing shoulders with him, you probably get to know him a little bit now, that maybe in a way you didn't know before. What is he like day to day?
Yeah, he's just a true pro. When you get in here, he's in here getting ready, getting his body ready. And that's the main thing. To play 15 years, you got to take care of yourself and do things the right way. And Larry Fitzgerald is the ultimate pro, future Hall of Famer. And he practices harder than anyone on this team. I mean,
still,
when he's out
there,
still? He's diving for balls.
Wow.
I mean, he's year 15 in.
That's awesome.
He might take some days off or take some plays off. Never. And that's something that you can admire and try to model no matter who you are.
That's awesome.
Wow, he's still diving. Save some for the game, Larry.
Yeah,
I hear you. That's great to hear. Justin, not a surprising comment, though.
No, of course
though.
Not. I mean, he's great for a reason. Justin, we're peppering with you offensive questions, but the quarterback, I'm not going to call it a battle because it's not a battle. It's Sam Bradford's job. But the situation out in Arizona is interesting. It's compelling. How have you guys handled that with a young – and we talked to Josh before he was drafted, Josh Rosen. He had an answer for everything. It was like, man, we could talk to this kid all day about almost anything. Like, what's the dynamic like with the quarterback situation out there with you guys? Sam Bradford obviously is the starter, but Josh is in a learning spot.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a great spot for Josh to be in because he gets to learn behind Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Coach came in and said day one, this is Sam Bradford's job. And that put any questioning or what if, what's going to happen if, to rest. And I think that was probably the best thing for everyone on the team to hear, because we know going into camp, Sam's our starter, Josh is going to back him up. But we've seen in this league, you need to have two quarterbacks that are capable of going out there and winning games. The way Josh comes into the huddle, has a confidence, has a demeanor about him that shows I'm going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL for years to come. And, I got to see a guy like Eli Manning, the way he handles himself. Both these quarterbacks here handle themselves very, very similarly. And it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see because Sam has so much talent and is going to be great for us. And then the future is bright with Josh.
Yeah, you got two good ones there. Justin Pugh with us of the Cardinals, formerly of the Giants, and that big five-year free agent extension. I given the dynamic of the Giants, I know you're focused on your new team, of course, but they drafted your first-round pick out of Syracuse, 5 years there? So you have great memories, I would imagine. You played for Coughlin. You played for McAdoo as well. Was last year as messy inside as it seemed on the outside to us looking in at the Giants? What was the dynamic during the season in the locker room with McAdoo? Really curious.
I think it's tough to in-season identify like this is a complete mess, because you're always trying to hold on to all right, let's keep doing our job. Let's make sure that we're doing things right. And when you're in it, it's tough to see it. Looking back on it, obviously some things, we had a lot of issues in that team. And it just shows, because we had probably the most talent on that Giants team last year than any team I've been a part of in my 5 years in New York.
Wow. Okay.
And things just started to fall apart, and the ball started rolling. I think we got a little complacent. You win 11 games the year before, go to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're just going to kind of ease in and get those same victories. We won so many tight games in the year we went to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That last year we thought the same thing was going to happen, and we didn't pull those games out. We lost all those close games, and then obviously injuries occurred, and things started to happen, and everything kind of fell apart. But it was definitely the toughest year for me last year.
Did you want to go back to the Giants? Because a lot of the reports said that they didn't really offer you a they're in a tough spot. They've got to rebuild some stuff, and you were going to get paid, so I don't know if they could have even afforded you. But did the Giants make an effort to retain you?
It's a good thing, Justin. Yeah. You made yourself too expensive.
This is how I look at it. Obviously, the personal side of things, it hurt because the Giants didn't even give me a call.
Yeah.
But it's like... I gave everything to them for 5 years, and I can't even, like, have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
But I realized from the business side of things, and it's taking some time for me to realize this, this is a business. Every person that makes football decisions in New York right now, I have no relationship with. I don't know the coach. I don't know Gettleman. I don't know anybody. I mean, you know, besides the Maras, but they're not making football decisions.
Yeah.
So it really became a thing where it's like, look, the Giants are a whole new team to me. So it's just like a lot of other NFL teams weren't interested in me coming and playing guard.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same thing with the Giants. There's definitely some personal things where you have a lot of relationships and you know a lot of people. But when I came out to Arizona, it felt like home. The culture, the people here, the guys in the locker room made me feel like I was one of them. And that's something that has become really important to me. I want to make sure we're having a good time and winning some games.
That's a good, honest answer. Justin Pugh is with us from the Cars, and he's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Your winters will be better, but your summers might suck a little bit more. That's my choice words for you. But here's the interesting thing about moving to a new division. Stay in the NFC, but you got a completely different set of big hogs on the defensive side of the ball to pay attention to. When you look at your division and the Seahawks we've talked about, we're going to actually talk to Shaquille Griffin in our next segment, but then the 49ers who have some good defensive linemen. You know, as you look at the division, the challenges are big. Where are the Cardinals fit right now when you look at the NFC West?
You know, I think the sky's the limit for us. If we stay healthy, which is always the big if in the NFL, you know, we have probably one of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You get Sam Bradford, who was one of the most accurate quarterbacks, the most accurate quarterback last year in the NFL. And then you have a guy like, you look at the defensive side of the ball, we have Chandler Jones, the NFL sack leader over the past 3 years. For some reason, no one brings Chandler up when they talk about, you know, the best pass rusher in the NFL. So we got a lot of guys. We can make some things happen. I think if you look at any division, you go into it, there's teams that are considered the favorite. It never shakes out that way.
Yeah, it's true.
You can run the ball. You can be successful late in the season. I think we have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to get in there and find out what this division's all about.
Yeah, it's an interesting division. Before I let you run, Justin, you guys obviously opened things up against the Redskins. You're at home on week one, Sunday, September 9th. I don't know if it works. I know what happens in baseball. Like if you switch teams and you'll certainly let your teammates know about pitching tendencies, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Were you actually, since you played against the Redskins many times, do you kind of take control of that offensive lineman room or the offensive room and say, here's what they do, here's this guy's tendencies? Mm-hmm. You take charge with that going into week one?
You know, obviously the coaches approach their things. They have their game plans. But the great thing about us in Arizona, that we've had a lot of input from the guys that are playing. So I'll definitely have my input and try to help out any way I can. But if you look at the Redskins D-line, they have a lot of new faces on that D-line too.
True.
Because last year they had some younger guys that got hurt that are now going to be playing.
Yep.
So, you know, it's really getting in there and seeing year to year what a team has. And because everyone finds out during training camp what they do well, and then they roll with that during the season. I think that's kind of going to be what's going to happen in Washington, and we'll find that out and what we do and counter that.
All right. Well, there was a point, and I'm sure you remember this, the Cardinals were – almost an abyss. Like, mm-hmm. if you were a broadcaster, you didn't want to get assigned to the Cardinals game. Now the Cardinals are, and they have been for a couple years.
Always viable.
Yeah, and one of the cool, you know, feels,
great.
Cool teams in the NFL. So we'll be watching, man. Congrats on the free agent deal, and have a nice start to the season, Justin.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Good luck, Justin.
You got it. Justin Pugh of the Card. So they've reworked that O-line. Yeah, real quick, before we talk about the Seattle Seahawks, Shaquille Griffin's going to join us next year. Talk about those five guys up front trying to mesh as a running back, trying to see what's happening in front of
that's
you.
That's hard. It's specific to scheme. Like, if you run a zone scheme, we all remember those from out in Denver. It's basically just
Raiders
one.
Raiders did that for a long
time.
Yeah,
but just one cut, right?
Yeah.
It's just you teach the old lineman reach and cut, or reach and cut off the backside. It's one cut. It's actually easy for the running back. But what the Cardinals, at least what I think the Cardinals are going to do, especially with a guy like David Johnson, is a lot of misdirection, a lot of, like, blocking down and pulling and things like that. That takes timing.
Yeah.
And so with four new guys, DJ Humphreys being the only one, which is their left tackle.
He was first round pick a couple years ago, right?
Right. The only one that's still there. There's gonna be some growing pains.
Yeah.
So they're gonna need all of the preseason to get right with David Johnson and their backups.
It could be a pretty good old line. I mean, I remember when Upati was young, watching mm-hmm. him at San Francisco. He's a mauler. He's a mean in a good way. He's
right.
What you want.
Yeah,
so
he's a little long. What is he? 31?
He's 31. He's been around
still
a little
young.
Bit.
He's still young.
You just never know when Upati's there, and obviously Justin's still in his late 20s here, second contract. Could be an interesting offensive line. You got David Johnson.
Yep.
I mean, all you have to be is functional as an old line, and David Johnson's going to get
nuts.
Gonna go nuts.
You're right.
Okay, so we got Shaquille Griffin, Seattle Seahawks. What's their identity going to be? It's a different vibe in Seattle. We'll find out coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So last segment, we got the scoop on the Cardinals. Right now, we get the scoop. Tiki and Tierney, 2 days, our sixth annual. The crew from Seattle. Let's see what's up with them. Seattle Seahawks right now.
The 2018 NFL season is upon us, and it's time for our sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Training Camp Two-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Seattle Seahawks, 9-7, second in the NFC West. The Legion of Boom is no more as the defense saw major upheaval. Stalwarts Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and Michael Bennett all gone. Perennial MVP candidate Russell Wilson is still under center with new targets in Brandon Marshall and rookie running back Rashad Penny.
This year feels like kind of like my rookie year. Way more experience, obviously, but the feeling of it all is just different, you know, for whatever reason. A lot of new faces and everything else. I think the outside world doesn't really know, you know, what we're hoping to do and what we're working for, you know, kind of. No, and I don't think anybody had really crazy high expectations my rookie year, too, you know. So a lot of that feels the same.
Can Seattle still compete in the West, or is their window finally shut?
Well, let's get some answers. I'll tell you one thing about the NFC West. It feels like a division of transition. A lot of the old storylines are kind of being replaced by new ones. Doesn't mean that's a bad thing. Just means that it's new storylines. And we're joined by Shaquille Griffin, defensive back for Seattle. Second year, of course, his brother's on the team as well. Shaquille, Tiki, and Tierney, what's happening, buddy? Welcome to our show.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, you're good, pleasure.
Man. You're a twin. We had to have you. There's no way you couldn't come on. And I got to tell you, I am so jealous of you. When I played with my brother, I never got to play with him unless we were in the Pro Bowl together. So the first question I got to ask you is, how amazing is it that you get to play at the highest level, the dream that I'm sure you guys had when you were young kids growing up playing sports, to play in the National Football League together? How amazing is this?
Oh, it's crazy. It's a feeling of a lifetime, man. You know, it's definitely amazing. To get a chance to play at the highest level, especially with your twin brother, you know, it's something you dream about your whole life. And to see it happen is, you know, it's a dream come true. It's a magical story, and I'm glad it happened and the way it did.
How is he doing? You obviously, people know the story about your brother, one hand, and how great as he was down in Florida in college. But how is he doing on the NFL level? You've been there for a year ahead of him. Evaluate him for us.
He's doing great. Living up to the expectations, you know, playing fast. He has a high motor, and he's using that. I feel like he's picking up in the plays, you know, early. You know, I've been working with him a lot, you know, with him living with me. And before he even got here, try to give him some things, some tips, what to expect and what not to do and what to do as a rookie. And the good thing about him, he listens and he learns quick. And he's been doing great. You know, he's one of the light rookies around the locker room and the team. And, you know, he just works. He doesn't say much. He doesn't act like he know it all.
Yeah.
He just grind, and he take it day by day and continue to learn as much as possible.
No, I love that. How much were you in the ear of your head coach and or general manager to draft him on draft day?
Oh, much as possible. Every time I see him, you know, I just threw the name in the air just to keep it fresh in the facility.
I love it.
Every time I walk by, I just say my brother's name randomly so they can hear in the air. So hopefully when draft day came, it just something just popped up and they just heard my voice saying his name. So I guess it did work.
That's awesome.
That's great.
It's an incredible story. And you're pretty good in your own right, man. So let's get back to you and let's get to the team in general. Shaquille Griffin, Seattle defensive back. So I use the term, it's kind of a division of transition. Garoppolo's going to be there from week one. That wasn't the case a year ago. We know he was still with the Pats. The Rams, they've added some players, but, I mean, they're thought to be one of the best teams in the NFL. And the Cardinals have a lot of new faces, including a new head coach. There's always been, like, certain teams, and not all of them, but a few teams in the NFL have a real palpable identity. And for a long time, Seattle had an identity, just mean, tough, fast, uber confident. I'm not saying you're not confident. I'm not saying you're not mean and fast, but I don't know that we feel that from the outside. What is the dynamic of this version of the Seattle Seahawks?
Right now, we're just a younger group. You know, we're keeping the same mentality, you know, just hungry forward, you know, just playing fast, playing physical, playing aggressive, and just playing with that sense of confidence and swag, and that's something that we're going to continue to keep. We're just new faces, younger group, and the good thing about having a young group, we're just hungry for greatness. And you, if you see the way we run out there on the field and we practice and we compete against each other, you know, it seems like we're arguing all the time, but it's just that's the kind of fight and dog we have in each other. And we hold each other accountable and we compete our butt off.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this group. You know, I've only been here a year, but I learned so much. And I'm taking upon that leadership role upon myself, and I'm giving it to other people. You know, I want to do so much better than I did last year. I want the guys to be able to count on me, and I'm glad that everybody's buying into it, you know, continue to work for each other, compete. And, you know, we're not taking plays off. We're not taking reps off. We're not giving nobody a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we're going against a whole different team in the way we compete. And I'm glad that everybody's buying into this program and to what's going on, to the coaching system.
Yeah.
And right now, I feel like the identity is going to show more than ever when the season starts. And I can't wait to surprise everybody.
Well, if everybody's as locked in as you are, because you sound laser locked in, you guys should be in pretty good shape. Let me throw this by you. It's just a theory that I have, and I don't know even know if you look for this or if you can possibly even sense this, being that you're only in your second year and you were only around Pete last year.
Hmm.
I would think, and Teak, you'd probably agree with me on this, because so many of the veterans that were there for so long and they were so boisterous and so influential, Pete coached them differently. Do you notice Carroll maybe a little more collegiate this year? And he's always been pretty collegiate,
yeah,
but more so given the youth and given the turnover, the roster, a little bit of a different approach from Pete Carroll?
Yeah, you know, I would say so. You know, he's keeping a little different because the guy's a lot younger. Like you said, we had an older group, and it was more voiceful. You know, they had a lot of say-so into what was going on here. We got a younger group, and we're still learning. But he tried to keep the system the same, the message, you know, that he gives to the last guys, the older guys. He continued to give us the same message to the point where we can understand it. So it's nothing that he's changed too much. He just understands the group and the guys he have around him now that's
mm-hmm.
different, you know, than the older crowd. And, you know, right now we got a younger group.
Yeah.
And he understands that. So nothing different. He had the same message. You know, it's always about the ball. It's always about taking care of your teammates and just competing. You know, that's never going to change here. And that's something that's been working. You know, why fix something that's not broken? And that's something that he lived by, and that's something we're going to continue to do.
Yeah, he's had a lot of success, been around a long time. So Seattle 9-7 a year ago. We were there. One of their defensive backs, Shaquille Griffin, Teak and Tierney today, CBS Sports Radio.
Shaquille, we know you got to bounce. You're out there in practice mode right now, but we can't let you go without asking about Russell Wilson. We've all seen his growth from the time he was a rookie to lead him to a Super Bowl championship, and without an offensive line that's been really protective of him. But tell us about his leadership as it's evolved, not just from the offensive side, but really for the team. You talk about having a young team. He's the old head in a sense. Tell us about Russell.
Yeah, he's doing great. You can see the big difference from just from last year. You know, he had an older crowd, so he had to say the things that he had to say. But, you know, he had people that was behind him that can help. And, you know, right now he's one of the only older guys besides, you know, Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright and those guys. But you can see, like, he's more voiceful from offense and the defensive side. You can see he's trying to help, you know, each way. You know, even get to the point where if he targeted me in practice, you know, he's trying to help everybody get better. And that's what I like the most about him. You know, he's not worrying about just his craft. He's trying to critique everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's being that voice that everybody need. And, you know, you can see the huge difference. And I feel like his play is going to be totally different. And the line that we have, he's taking it upon himself to make sure they prepare for this season. You know, it's just, you could tell he's involvement into the real player you really want to be.
Yeah. You know, I know that you're primarily on the right side. I don't know how Brandon Marshall's being deployed in practice, but I would imagine a couple of times you've lined up, you've banged, you know, pads with him. How's he look? I mean, he's a physical specimen, but he's been around a little bit. Again, he still plays. Is there anything left in the tank for Brandon Marshall?
Oh, yeah, he definitely got something left. You know, I've been going against him every day, actually, and he's a big guy. I can definitely tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he still got him. I mean, he's trying to get back to where he want to be, and he's looking good. He's getting there, and I can't wait to see him at his best. And you can see he's working hard to get there. And, yeah, he definitely got some juice left, you know, and that's the one that's helping me get better. Between him and Ty Lockett and Juwan Brown and all those guys, they helped me a lot. So I'm getting different looks. So, you know, it's only helping me. So I'm pushing and striving for him to be his best.
Hey, you know, Richard Sherman tore his Achilles last year, and we knew it was the end of his tenure there in Seattle. What did you learn from him? Because he was one of the greats of the last generation. What did you learn from him before he's left and now he's in San Francisco?
The main thing he told me is just let my personality show. You know, some guys come and they kind of, you know, play timid and then forget the reason why they start playing football. You got to let your personality show. You know, if you're aggressive, you be that aggressive person. If you talk a lot, you know, you just talk. You know, you continue to have that dog in you. That's your personality. Show it. And, you know, in different situations, continue to stay poised. And I feel like that's what I learned most from him. He taught me that I'm going to be in all types of situations that I've never been in before. and I just have to stay poised, and he taught me that. And that's the main thing I took from the game, and I just let my personality show. You know, I know what I'm capable of doing, and I know how good of an athlete I am, and I'm confident in myself. And I know I can be one of the greats, and that's something he taught me, and that's something I took away from him.
I got to tell you, man, I don't know exactly what the Griffin dinner table dynamic was when you were growing up, but I can guarantee you that it was very positive and a very happy place.
I
got to
tell you, Shaquille, you guys are from down in St. Pete, where my brother's obviously in Tampa, so he's been telling me about you guys for a long time. It's a blessing to be where you guys are. I'm happy and proud of you guys, man. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate that. It's an honor.
Be good, man.
Yeah, well said on that, Teague. See you, Shaquille, no doubt. I mean, this is just a genuinely good person right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves what he does. Yeah. He's enthusiastic.
I've seen a bunch of interviews, pre-draft, etc.
with him and his twin.
It reminds me, like, I'm jealous. I told him at the beginning of the interview, I'm jealous, right? To be able to live that dream with your twin is just, it's ridiculous.
You could have left New York and gone down to Tampa or vice versa. You didn't want to leave the Big Apple. You had too many endorsements going on. Cadillac. I remember the Cadillac commercial.
New York was good for me.
It was pretty good to you. And it should not be, you know, the last thing you want to do is have, by the way, Shaquille's a good player in his own right. He's a starter. But just talk about his brother with the one hand. But I just want people, we're going to go to break. Just think about this. His brother has one hand, and he's playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And he looked damn good in the first preseason game.
He did. Had 9 tackles in the first game. One hand. Wow. Update from Jay Berman. Hugh Jackson. I got a little criticism from Hard Knocks, and it could be a fatal flaw. We'll get to that coming up. Teague and Tierney, here's Big J.
Sports Flash.
All right, BT, we'll start by telling you this report is brought to you by NHTSA. If you think drunk driving is no big deal, you couldn't be more wrong. People could get hurt or killed, and you could get arrested or even lose your job. Drive sober or get pulled over. Rick Pitino's lawsuit against Adidas alleging the apparel company deliberately damaged his reputation was dismissed by a federal judge on Tuesday. The judge in the case sided with Adidas' claim that arbitration out of court is required. Ex-boxing superstar Antonio Tarver was arrested Monday for domestic battery. The 49-year-old was taken into custody in Florida. He was booked and spent the night in jail. He was released around 7 p.m. last night. All right, from baseball, sad news. Former Angels minor league pitcher Aaron Cox, Mike Trout's brother-in-law, died this morning. He was just 24. Meanwhile, Braves pitcher Brandon McCarthy will retire at the end of this season, ending a 13-year career. On the scoreboard, Twins beat the Pirates 6-4, White Sox 6-5 over the Tigers. I'm Jay Berman.
Flip the burger. Flip the burger. The DA Show, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop. Each week, I sit down with some of the biggest stars in sports or entertainment. And don't forget, leave your comments. And great news, there's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
It's a good beat right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good beat.
A little shady
operation. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So last night, Teak, I really couldn't wait for Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I watch it on demand.
Yeah.
Last night, just the flow of the day and the flow of the night. Watched the end of the Yankees. That was, you know, that was done. Watched a little baseball, MLB Network, a little political circuit as we always do. Boom, 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 flipping around. HGTV. In case I ever start flipping homes, you know, catching, you know, what's the show about the Alaskan people in the wilderness?
Oh,
what is that about? What's the name? What's the actual name of that show? They're incredibly resourceful.
Not the Bush people.
Something like that, actually.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
I've never
watched it, but I usually get caught a naked and afraid.
I'll tell you, do you think you could do that?
Hell no.
That is hard.
I tell myself I could, but like, I hate getting bit by like mosquitoes.
I can't stand
and, like,
it.
ants. Uh-huh. I hate like little things crawl. There's no way I could do it.
I just wouldn't want to walk around naked.
I wouldn't mind that, but whatever.
Well, of course you wouldn't. I'd be like, because they first you have to strip, and then they give you the bag, the little thing, like the little poncho. Give me the poncho, and then I'll take everything off. I don't care if my belly's hanging out, but yeah, I make sure nothing gets eaten as I'm walking into the forest over here. As a quick aside, before we get to Hard Knocks, I wonder how believable that those things are. I know they've got the medic on site, mm-hmm. and I've watched a lot of those. They really are interesting, but how the hell does nobody get attacked by a hyena,
right,
or a mountain lion or a lion or a snake? I mean, nothing ever happens. No,
you're right. Nothing serious ever happens.
That's why
It's like they have a protected perimeter.
I know.
Right?
Would it surprise you if something's walled off?
Not at all. Not at all.
Boy, that would be disappointing. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
but
it's a show.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be real.
But you're not supposed to manipulate nature. That's the whole premise.
I agree.
Some of those things. Some of those people hang in. They're really good.
They get in these alligator-infested water.
Oh, I know.
Crocodile-infested water, I should say. And
they
just, okay, we're good.
I know. They make their own rafts. I'd be afraid of everything, basically.
I agree.
And then, God forbid, if your partner goes home, you're by yourself?
I know.
No.
That's happened a lot.
At least let me be near somebody that can comfort me in my own fears here. Not that I wouldn't give it a old college try. I mean, part of me would be like, that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But when you're there like 8-9 days, you've barely eaten. And here's the other thing. You're just picking things off trees.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell knows what's poisonous?
Well, you're supposed to be a survivalist, so you should know these things.
Yeah, but they're not professional survivalists. Survivalist. Say that word for me.
Survivalist.
Diesel, you say it for me.
People who survive.
Survivalists. There you go. Yeah, but still, like some, a lot of them have like a background, uh-huh, or they're adventurous, they enjoy nature, but they're not like professional survivors.
True.
You know? All right, so anyway, so I was watching Hard Knocks, and the only thing about the episode last night that left me really annoyed is that they gypped us 9 minutes. Like, mm-hmm, I remember looking at the clock, and it goes on 10 Eastern, and it's like 10:51. I'm like, great, it was so good.
Yeah.
I'm like, sweet. It was almost like The Sopranos back in the day. Nice, I got 12 more minutes. Nice, I got 8 more minutes. It's not over yet. Then they rolled the credits at 10:52. I'm like, why are you gypping us? I think it was the best Hard Knocks I've ever seen outside of the Jets with Rex Ryan.
They ran out of content.
But did they, or did they run out of the willingness to actually produce it? Because there was a lot of content last night. Maybe as much as we've ever gotten.
It just makes you, because it's not like they can't leave it hanging for the next week, right? Because it's kind of happening in real time.
Eh.
I mean, it's a little bit of a lag, but it's happening in real time.
Sure, they have the Giants game.
Exactly. So it's not like they can say, oh, we're going to cover this next week, because something else is going to happen before they.
You know who's going to be there next week? Dez.
Dez
is going to be there next week. Watch. Dez is going to be a Brown. They traded Corey Coleman, which obviously is a big piece of the episode.
Isn't that a little bit too convenient?
Well, Galloway's skill set emboldened them to do that. That's less about Dez and more about Galloway.
I'm not even talking about Galloway or Corey Coleman, who I'm so disappointed in, and I'll get to in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it just like perfectly convenient that the Cleveland Browns are on Hard Knocks, and the one team, because he's been sitting for 3 months now,
mm-hmm,
the one team that's going to go get him or even bring him in is the Browns, who are on Hard. Isn't it too convenient? You know what I mean?
I'd like to say it's serendipitous timing. The timing is serendipitous.
I just don't believe in coincidence like that.
Really? They're not going to contrive and construct a roster based on a TV show.
If you're the NFL and you need...
NFL's got no say on who they bring in. Come on.
But they own the NFL.
Browns?
They own it, right?
But so you actually think that they're strongly implying, hey, listen, bring Dez aboard. It's good for ratings. There's no chance that's happening.
Not to bring him on board, but he's going to be there being interviewed and having his sit down with you. And obviously, it's going to be on camera. I mean, why didn't they do it a week ago? You know what I mean? Why don't they do it like 2 weeks from that?
It's
just the thought.
I got you.
It's a little bit too convenient for me. Now, a lot of this episode centered around their wide receiver group.
Yeah.
And Corey Coleman was a big part of it. We remember him at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
He was ridiculously
terrific.
Good. I mean, he was catching balls one-handed, falling to the ground, and then jacked. He looks like a He-Man,
mm-hmm,
out there. I don't think I'd ever heard him engage with people. I mean, I've heard him talk, doing interviews, et cetera. But I walked away from that episode saying, that kid has no chance to make it in the National Football League. Because he doesn't respect. Now, this may just have been the way it was cut.
Go ahead.
He doesn't respect where he is or who the hell he's talking to. Hey, listen to these two. There's two cuts. There are two instances of him. This is from Hard Knocks, so take it with a grain of salt. But two instances from him, one talking to his offensive coordinator, one talking to his head coach. Let's listen to the first one with his offensive coordinator, Todd Haley.
It's you against him. Come up with that ball. Pride yourself in it. Come on, Corey!
In the red zone, making a mental error. Giving up on a ball on the inside. It's in your chest.
It wasn't in my chest.
That's about what it's been. Okay, until you show me otherwise, I'll get excited. Right now, I'm not.
All right.
Just to be fair, that ball was not in his chest. The ball that Haley got, I know he dropped others.
Yes.
The ball, when he said it was in his chest, it was behind him.
It doesn't matter.
I hear you.
So, whether it was in his chest or not, doesn't matter. Okay. Keep your mouth shut. Right? Take your medicine and go forward. It gets worse. It gets worse when he finds out he's taking second team reps and he sees his head coach as he's walking down the hall.
Corey. What's happening to sports fan?
Why am I running second team?
What you said?
Why am I running second team? That's crazy to me.
Go get Todd in it. Go ask Todd.
And then come back and tell me. If you don't want me to play, why won't y'all just trade me?
I mean,
wow.
Hey,
I got a question.
This is huge. This is your.
But why
head?
Did he say go ask Todd? It's Hugh's team.
Okay, I agree.
Okay,
but go. Yeah,
Hugh. You're head coach.
Hugh passing the buck a little bit. You can get to Hugh in a second. This is all about respect. This has nothing to do with content here. You're walking by your head coach's office. He hollers at you. Hey, Corey, you walk into his office. The first thing you say is, why am I taking second team reps? Not, hey, coach, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, what did you need?
Because
he asked him to come in. The lack of respect is puzzling to me. Because, I may have disliked some of my coaches. I never disrespected him. And there's no way that a coach is going to give you the benefit of the doubt if you're not respecting him. And I don't know who he thinks he was talking to or who he got away talking to like that for the most of his life, but that's not going to work in the National Football
League. It's not going to work in high school.
It's not going to work anywhere as an adult professional, anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't walk into someone's office and be like, whatever my gripe is the first thing that comes out of my mouth, and start cussing at the dude.
I hear you.
I'm like, come on, Corey.
Yeah.
And then he says, why don't you trade me? All right, then. Peace.
You're out. Now you got your wish. Get out of here.
Agreed.
Oh, you know, wow. So that.
He needs an attitude adjustment is what he needs.
I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that. I guess part of my question is, and I think I know the answer. I'm going to throw it out there, though, just for conversation's sake. Is that a Corey Coleman problem or is that a Hugh Jackson problem?
It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah. And the reason I present it that way, and I was kind of hoping that would, and I figured that might be your answer.
Yep.
The fact that Corey Coleman felt the license to act that way with Hugh Jackson is a problem that reflects very poorly on Hugh Jackson.
You're right.
Now, Corey Coleman now has to change the narrative on him, and that he's going to have to do that in Buffalo.
You're right.
Where there's no cameras in terms of Hard Knocks.
You're right.
But, you know, right away, and Hugh early in the, and we could play this as well, Hugh was pissed off at the lack of energy, the lack of attention. It doesn't seem like they're really practicing very hard. You've got, you know, one of your former, you know, was he first or second? He was second round, right? Was Corey Coleman second round?
First.
He was first?
Yeah.
He was late first. I don't know if he was first or second. One of your former first round picks just feels entitled to basically treat you like a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't reflect well on Corey. I get it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that people are doing that to Coughlin.
No.
Or Parcells.
Oh, hell no.
Or Belichick.
No.
I just don't see that.
Yeah, you're right.
Or Jim or John Harbaugh.
Yeah, see, that's the danger. You know, it's funny because, not as funny, but I remember
15th overall. Thank you, Mike. I wasn't sure.
I remember Coach Coughlin when he first got there. Like, he was so strict, especially early on. Just like,
this you want to take the long way to avoid his office.
Yeah.
You don't want to go by it.
And then you'd see
this
him.
This guy might call me in, drill sergeant.
You'd see him and you'd try to be, I don't know, like, not cordial, but just like, hey, coach, how you doing?
Like friendly and overly, almost compensate for his.
Dude, I know you're a human in there somewhere,
right?
So be a human. And I remember like winking at him once. Just like, hey, coach, what's up? I winked at him.
I must have loved that.
God, he stopped. He turned around. Don't you ever. I'm like,
get out of here.
I swear to you, BT.
Was this his first year?
This was his first or second year, whatever. It's probably his first year.
He F-bombed you up and down for winking?
No, not F. They just said, don't you ever edit me. And I'm like, all right.
Wow.
It took me aback, right? And so I stopped. And I'm not one to just be like, okay, coach, whatever. I was like, why would you? Why? You know what?
Yeah.
It's
curious.
There's nothing there. Of course, I'm curious. I'm naturally curious.
Uh-huh.
And it essentially the conversation was like, I don't trust you guys not to take advantage of me.
Wow.
Right. And so in the context of Hugh Jackson and the atmosphere that he creates, it feels like if Corey Coleman could walk into your office, just blast at you and then cuss at you, he's giving them license to take advantage of him.
Yep.
Right? And that's not going to work. When the inmates are running the asylum, so to speak, that's not a good thing. Right? They got to respect the authority, because all of a sudden, when you start saying, as we will hear him at some point, screaming and yelling at these guys, if they don't respect what he's saying,
mm-hmm.
then it doesn't. He's just cussing and he's just blowing hot air, and nobody's actually listening or adjusting or taking to heart what his message is. That's the worry.
I'm sorry, Teague. I'm going to save my thoughts for Hugh, top of the hour. We're going to have Steve Souza, by the way, our buddy who used to play for the Rays, who tweeted at us yesterday. We get him on the show. Now with the Diamondbacks. So we'll get him at 5:20 Eastern. But I'll ask you this, and I'll save my stuff for after the update. So coming up at 5 Eastern, what I really think is problematic and slash fatal for Hugh Jackson. And it's not just the 1-31 record, but of the 1-31 record, pro athletes aren't dumb.
No.
Yeah, listen, they know the story.
Yep.
They know the scoop. They're savvy. College kids, they're pretty savvy too, but there's a carrot. They've got they've got to play to get drafted. They've got to produce.
Yep.
Pro players get paid. They can be different. I mean, they look at Hugh and they see 1-31. I mean, how can he command respect?
It's hard because success is when respect comes from winning, because it's a bottom line business, right? We know that as players and now as a former player, you know it. Doesn't matter how good you think you are, what your potential was. If you don't actually do it, it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
And that's not from that's a player standpoint. That's a coach standpoint. That's a GM standpoint. It's everything. As my coach used to always say, there needs to be a sign. Hiring all positions.
Get the sign out.
Seriously.
Get the sign out. Go a little more with you. I got something to lay by you. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.